What a wonderful song. Thank you again for being here. It is Mother's Day, and Amy and I look forward to getting to meet all the ladies in the church. If you're able to stay just for a moment, we've got some beautiful bags we'd like to give just as a reminder of the day. And say thank you for being here. And it's a joy to get to celebrate mothers. Now, I usually give this disclaimer. Sometimes your life has been that your mother was not a godly mother who raised you up in the way that you should have gone. But you know, I always, the Lord says in everything, give thanks. We ought to be thankful to what the Lord has given us, because there's things that she has done that has brought great joy to your life, and lessons that you've been able to learn even through negative circumstances. And so I think that there's no point for any of us not to be thankful for what God has given us. But then many of us, we've had godly, wonderful mothers that are a blessing. And I see some sitting now beside their mother. And we ought to be grateful if we have a mom that taught us to be in church and taught us to love the Lord. I was singing as Brother Dan chose that song, The Lily of the Valley. I can remember my mom singing the little high part one time, the echo that I was joking about earlier. And wonderful thoughts. I've got a wonderful mom, and I've got a wonderful wife who's a mother to our children, and I have a wonderful mother-in-law. And you know I like mother-in-law jokes, but I usually tell her when she's there that those don't apply to her most of the time. But I'm so thankful. And if you've got a mother that's still with you, then you should ought to make sure, of course, that today somehow you get word to her that you thank her for what she's been to you. And then many of you have your mom and she's in heaven. And what a wonderful reunion day it'll be one of these days. And we can think about the good times that we'll have as we reunite together with those that have gone on before us. But I praise the Lord for Mother's Day. And another little side note, in case you didn't know, the lady that started it was a West Virginian, Mountaineer, go Ears. So Grafton, West Virginia. And so it was a It's got wonderful history all the way back through. They were celebrating mothers long before that, but it became an official holiday, officially noted by Congress in 1914. And so thank the Lord for Mother's Day. And more than that, thank the Lord for mothers. Thank you, ladies, for being here. And then as many would be, God has not given the joy of motherhood to some, to ladies in my family, and but they have taken other young folks and they've tried to be a blessing to them. And I say thank the Lord for each and every one of you that do that. We're going to look in our Bibles this morning. It's at Genesis chapter 21. Genesis 21, we're going to look into about Sarah, some attributes of Sarah. I'd like to preach a message entitled that. As you find your place in Genesis 21, I did hear the story about this couple, speaking of moms and wives, and her. This story about a couple that went to some tourist trap. It was a crocodile lagoon. They had crocodiles all in the water there, and it was kind of a little island thing out in the middle. And the owner of it was the one that gave the tour to this tour, or gave the tour to the tourist who was coming. And he said, "We've got $100,000 to anybody that jumps in the lagoon and swims the other side in the death-defying waters, all with those crocodiles there." And nobody, of course, moved. He says, "Yeah, it's never happened. Nobody's ever done it." But all of a sudden, they heard a big splash. And some guy was just swimming to beat the band. His arms were flailing. His feet were flailing. He was doing all he could to get to the other side. And sure enough, he got over there. He got there, and they all walked across the little bridge that the normal folks went to. And they saw him on the other side and said, "Wow, congratulations." And the guy that owned the tourist trap, he paid up. He gave him the money, gave him a big check, gave a big presentation. Well, it didn't take long for around town for the word to get to everybody that this guy had done what nobody else had ever done. The guy never had to pay that money. And the hotel clerk said, "Wow, I heard about what you did." He said, "I just want to shake the hand of the bravest man that I've ever met that willingly jumped in through there and did all that." And his wife was in the background just grinning from ear to ear. And he reached out his hand. He said, "Well, I thank you and I appreciate that. But," he said, "I didn't jump in. I was pushed." And the wife, continuing to grin, said to her, "Well, the moral of the story, behind every man that ever did anything good, there was a woman pushing." So there you have it this morning, folks. Happy Mother's Day to you. So Genesis 21, the Bible says this, verse number 1, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord said unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham was called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. which you remember probably from your story. That word literally means laughter because of Sarah laughing when she had heard. And Abraham circumcised his son, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Again, I want to preach just for a little while about this subject, the attributes of Sarah. With the story of Sarah and her faith, and although the faith was small at times, when that messenger said, you're going to have a baby, and she laughed, hence the name that she got to name her son. But we see a lady of faith, and God was not only putting faith in her, but God was faithful to her. I read a story of a mother who found out when her child was about 3 that she had had cancer and that it was terminal. It wasn't going to be a long time that she had with him. And so she started writing him notes and birthday cards for him to open up, just so that he would have something to remember her by. But it hit her one day while she was writing some birthday cards, and she put several of them out through his life that she would not be there to celebrate. But it hit her that he would also probably marry and have children and see them graduate and do all of these different big events that she would miss. And so she went on an agenda to write a card for all these opportunities that she would have at that point to give her son the love that she wanted to, but she wouldn't be there. And so at the writing of that story, which was several years ago when I read it, that man was giving account that he was still opening cards, that his mom had died when he was just a beginner age child, but he was still opening cards as children would be born into his life. And I think about a mother. And God has just blessed a home with a mom. And I want to preach for a little while about these attributes of Sarah and trust that the Lord would bless everyone, whether you're a mother, whether you're even a lady. But I believe that the Lord would make it applicable to every one of us if we would listen. Father, be with us. Now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Sarah was that mother of that instrumental figure, of course, Abraham, and the major world religions all trace their lineage back to him. Of course, Christianity is because he's from the lineage that our Savior came from, and the tribe of Judah from Abraham and all of his children. And we understand that he was a prominent figure in faith, of course. And then as God gave him a child, and Sarah was the lady that God had blessed to bring a child to Abraham in his old age. But I think about these lessons that we can learn. I'd just like to give you 3 this morning out of our verses that we've read. First of all, I'd like to give you this, that Sarah and moms are to be ladies of faith. Now again, Sarah's faith was tested a little bit. It was low a time or two, but Sarah was a lady of faith. And we see in verse number 3 that Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Every time she would have said his name, my mamaw used to just call down through the roll, and maybe you have a mamaw like that or used to. She just called down through the roll, start with my oldest uncle, then my dad, and then my oldest brother, then my brother above me, then me. And eventually she'd get to one of us. Whoever she was wanting to shut the door, she'd just go down, Gene, Dave, Dan, John, Mark, whoever it was, just shut the door. And or go do this or go do that. And she would call the roll. And we understand that as the names mean something specific, but here in the Bible times, as Isaac was given that name of laughter, it would have had to be a reminder every time that Sarah said his name that that's the time that I laughed. You'd laugh too. Don't get too hard on Sarah. Some of you ladies, if it was old as her, as she was, then and you say, God says you're going to have a child. And so every time that his name was called out, it was a reminder to Sarah that that's the God that said I was going to. And it was a funny thing to me. It was an unbelievable thing to me, and I laughed. And so every time it would have been a reminder of faith. And the Bible says that Sarah bare to him Isaac. Ladies, do we have a faith that God could look at? Do we have a faith? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, without faith it's impossible to please Him. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's what all of us are supposed to live our lives by. It's what how we're supposed to be raising our children, living our marriage. It's the way we're supposed to be doing this, that, and the other in faith. I read of a story of a lady named Maria who went into labor months early, was at work and knew something was wrong, and went to the doctor, and the doctors prepared her for the worst. The baby was going to be born way, way early, and actually after the baby was born, only in 15 ounces, just right around a pound, the doctor had given only a 10 to 20% chance of survival, and he said if he does survive, then he will have multiple problems because of the developmental disabilities that will most likely be there. And the doctors were less certain than Maria was, but Maria thought she had this feeling from God that he would be fine. Again, the doctors less certain, and so they went on. That baby did grow and develop through NICU and long stays in NICU and eventually into another step-down unit and again. Long story short, finally there was a sign in that room, not a sign on the door, but a sign in that room that somebody was going home. And that sign that all the lady nurses would rejoice about was a car seat behind the bed. And there was a little car seat that baby was going to go home in. I said, boy, it was a girl. And as they got ready to take their little girl home, somebody on their discharge papers, that not one of the nurses, they already knew her name, but one of the discharging people said, oh, we're glad to see that this one's doing good. And what's her name? And that couple had named their baby Faith. Because they said faith in God is what brought this little one to a point where, of course, she could be born, she could survive, but now she can be going home in our arms. You know what? As I listen to the testimony of saints of God that have gone on from their young children and their grandchildren, that is that mom, dad, somebody was a person of faith. And what we mean by that is believing what you couldn't see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. If we were a class in school, we'd say this, evidence of things not seen. We don't believe God because we've seen Him. All we see is evidence. We see His handiwork as if these buildings and these walls could be taken down. You'd see the trees blowing in the breeze. We see the evidence of God, but we don't see Him. We know Christ through the Scripture, but we haven't yet seen Him. One day we will lay our eyes on Him of whom the world pierced, but we know Him by faith. And the Bible says that Sarah was a lady of faith as she would call out Isaac's name, and she would know every time that she did. That reminds me of what I thought was impossible. God said, I can do it. And I believe, my friend, that we all need a dose of that would say what the world calls impossible. God says, with that, with me, all things are possible. I see that she was a lady of faith. The Bible says back in chapter number 18, verse before we read there, that God was asking Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer, of course, is no. I see not only was she a lady of faith, and moms ought to be, but I see also that she, like us, like you ladies, should be a lady that was humble. Look in verse number 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Do you know it's a good thing for you to do to laugh at yourself? Eventually, sometime, Sarah got to a place where she said, listen, I laughed because I was in disbelief. And now all those are laughing with me because of the joy that was brought in by this little fella in our lives. And she literally had to learn to laugh at herself. Don't we pride ourselves on all having it all together? Nobody wanted to come in the door of the church and say, I'm just a mess. My tie's over here, or my clothes are disheveled. My hair is all messed up. All of us like to pretty well come in prepared. But you know, as a mom, if those of you are a mom in here, you know it's hard to be act all prepared when you got one or two or three or however, five or six or seven, however many little ones that are around you. It's hard to look like you're all prepared. You got it all put together when you got spit up down your shoulder and you don't even know it's there, ladies. Hard to act like you got it all together when you're in the nicest restaurant that you can be in and the nicest restaurant in town, and your child's crying like he's trying to get the decibel meter to go off because he wants to get it so loud. Hard for you ladies to seem prestigious and not have it all together when you've got folks over at your house and your toddler comes out naked as a jaybird in front of everybody. Right? Those are things that moms have to deal with. And Sarah found herself in a place. She says, I laughed. Now everybody's laughing. Now that laughter would have been a laughter of, at the end, a laughter of joy and a laughter of happiness because this baby was here. But at first it was a laughter of disbelief. And so Sarah had to come to a place where she realized that, yes, I laughed. Yes, I doubted God. Yes, I was in disbelief. But that laughter has been turned into joyful laughter because God delivered what he said he would deliver. And my friend, I would say to all of us, regardless of your age, if you haven't learned it yet, you ought to learn to laugh at yourself. Save somebody else the trouble. I always told our kids and tell them still, if somebody is giving you a hard time, the best thing you can do is just agree with them and say, you know, that was a crazy thing I did. It deflates all of their ammunition. You know it's true. If somebody is bothered by what somebody else is saying, what does that somebody else keep on doing? Well, they keep on pouring it on. If they saw that you were bothered by you giving them a hard time about being late or doing this or not doing this or whatever, then when they see that upset you, they keep shoveling it on and they do more and more of it. But if you agree with your adversary in the way and you just say, you know, that was the craziest thing. I can't believe I did that either. It just kind of deflates the situation and they don't have anything else to make fun of anymore. Well, Sarah was a lady that laughed, and the Bible says that she laughed and everybody laughed with her. I've heard of a true story. A family was in church and they were passing the offering plate, and this little 4-year-old was in there. And they have a church, so we didn't have children's services, and the offering plate was passed, and the offering was after some singing, after a little bit of testimony, but certainly before the preaching, and the offering plate was passed. And then after it passed there, the little 4-year-old jumped up and stood in the pew and said, Dad, can we go? We already paid now. Kids will keep you humble. If you've had children, you know that there's nothing seemingly that's off limits. Moms are supposed to be ladies of faith. Ladies that remember that God can do what nobody else said could be done. I'm looking at some of you today and God's taken you through some deep water. But I said God took you through that. You didn't know how you were going to get through the loss of a parent. Some of you, when the doctor gave you the sentence of cancer, everybody knew that that would be the end, but you believed God and God had other plans. Some of you, either you or your spouse or someone in your family, you've lived with crippling diseases for years now. And many folks thought you'd go crazy long before, but God has given you strength to go on and go on and go on. Sarah was a lady of faith. Faith is that substance that I already told you of things that can't be seen. And my friend, sometimes you can't see the way clear. Sometimes you can't see the path that you ought to take, but you can see the God that will show the path, and you're going to keep your eyes on the God that will show the path, and when he needs to reveal the path, he'll show it to you, and you'll walk on as he gives you light. You see, Sarah was a lady of faith. Sarah was also somebody who was humble and learned to laugh at herself, but I give you this last one. Sarah and mothers ought also be those that give. Look at verse number 8, if you would, our last verse that we read, and then I'll take you to one other verse. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Look in chapter number 22, just down at verses 2 and 3. And I want you, if you're a mom, to put yourself in this position right here. And he said, God said, take thou thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. You say, that's the story about Abraham. Yeah, but whose boy was Abraham taking? Now, you know the rest of the story. Abraham had another child. He had other people, another child that was in the area of disobedience. But Sarah was promised God a son, a child. And as Isaac and Abraham are walking out of that tent, walking out of that little camp, he is taking none other but her baby boy, who's not a baby at this point. But she believes God, that what God wants to do, God can do. And I give you that last point, that moms are people who give. A preacher friend of mine is a good bit older than me, but back in the late 70s, he was at a church family's house after he had preached a revival there. And he was eating with this family. The mom and the dad were in the kitchen. They were in the dining room, and the folks were sitting down. And so this preacher took the seat, one of the seats that was empty. Everybody was quiet. He noticed that, but he didn't know anything was going on about it. But he noticed the folks were quiet until the mom came in the doorway from the kitchen into the dining room. And when she saw where the preacher was sitting, she gasped and started crying. And the man of the house was walking in from the kitchen, also carrying something in. And the preacher that was there said, "Have I done something wrong?" And the man said, because the lady couldn't speak, said, "No, you've not done anything wrong. That's our son's chair." And he started to get up and say that he would excuse himself and move to another chair. Said, "No, that's fine. He's not going to use it." And they went on to tell this preacher who was preaching there, said, "We gave our son to Vietnam, but Vietnam did not give him back." And nobody knows what it's like, except for more than a mother, to know what it's like to do all of this preparation, to do all of this legwork, to do all of these things, and give somebody for a task, and that task not give him back. And as Sarah watched Isaac taken by Abraham up there carrying the wood, carrying the fire, carrying everything, and as Isaac asked later, "But where's the sacrifice?" And so Sarah was a giving someone. Reminds us a lot of the lovely Son of God who left heaven's glory and was brought to this earth, and God gave His only begotten Son. And you think about sacrifice, and we think about giving, and we think about doing for others what they cannot do for themselves, and we think about God, our Heavenly Father, that gave His only begotten Son to go to a cruel cross, because Isaac wasn't the only one going up on that mountain. Years later, Jesus was going on that mount called Calvary. And when Jesus went on that mount called Calvary, it was God giving His Son, the godly for the ungodly, the lovely for the unlovely, the worthy for the unworthy. And my friend, perhaps you're here and you're listening and realizing that God giving His Son was the most beautiful picture of sacrifice in all of eternity, and it was. And whether you're getting the message that you ought to be like God and give up, or whether you ought to be like Sarah and be a giver, my friend, I hope that today you realize, number one, if you're not saved, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, because Sarah gave her earthly son, but God gave His heavenly son, the darling angel, the darling glorious child of heaven, Jesus Christ, God the Son, as a sacrifice for your sins and my sins. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you've never put your faith in Jesus, I challenge you to do that. If you are saved today, can I challenge you to take the lesson from Sarah and be that giver as she watches Abraham and Isaac walk off and toward the mountain, and she realizes that He's not only taking His son there, He's taking her son, and she's a giver. Moms are a wonderful thing. Someone said it like this: how could you hate someone, love somebody, the same person? Well, probably when mom's getting spit on her fingers to wipe your face off and you're 7 or 17, if she's still doing that, I guess, but whatever age. But then you bring that to a place where you may have a little bit of, for that person, but that's also the one that loves you more than anybody else. Can I tell you as we close what I'm always amazed at? I've talked to moms of their adult children are in prison for serious stuff. Can I tell you what moms almost always say? They almost always say, for somebody who's in prison for serious stuff, he's a good boy. And I always look and say, that must be why they locked him up. He's such a good boy. Moms always see the best. And I want to say today, I thank God for mothers. Thank God for my wife, who's a mother to our children, who I've got to watch over these 20 years, sacrifice and stay up late and get up early and do all these things. I thank God for my mother, who's sick now, but who I've seen all of my life just sacrifice and give financially and physically and spiritually, just beyond herself. And I get to a wonderful mother-in-law that I get to see as now all of her adult children rise up and call her blessed. My friend, it's a wonderful thing to get to watch mothers. And I hope that today, whoever's in your life, maybe your mom's gone on to heaven, but there's somebody else that's been able a little bit to take a small part of that, that you would thank them today. You would not let the day go by but what you don't thank them. And certainly, if they're still here, whether they've done everything right or haven't done everything right, of course nobody's done everything right, but whether they've done it all right or not, may you do what the Bible commands. In everything, give thanks. Would you find some things that you can thank her for? And then, my friend, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you see, when Abraham took Isaac, that's Sarah's son, when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain, God had other plans than for Isaac to be sacrificed. God did provide himself a sacrifice. And that sacrifice on that mountain was a precursor, was a shadow, was an indicator, was an image of what was going to come years and years and years later when Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary on a mount called Calvary for your sins and for mine. And if you're here and you're not sure you know Jesus as your Savior, oh, my friend, please don't let this special Mother's Day pass, but what you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads together with me as we've come today to honor mothers? We've come today to honor ultimately the Lord. And if you're here today, I challenge you, if you're not saved, in just a moment we'll stand. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. You're not sure you know Jesus Christ by faith. Brother Daniel will be standing right in front of the pulpit that I preach from, and he'd love to take a Bible, or if you're a lady, he would have a lady would just take their time and show you from the Bible how you can put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's really simple, but we want to make sure you have any questions that you have answered. If you're not saved, I challenge you to be saved. If you are saved, I challenge you to take the lessons from Sarah and put them to practice in your life. We ought to not think too high of ourselves. Sarah laughed at herself. Again and again, when she called that boy's name, Sarah was a lady of faith. Are you a lady of faith? Are you a man of faith? Sarah was a giver. Are you giving to what the Lord leads you to give? Are you a giver by nature? Father, be with us now is our prayer. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God's spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. You're here. Maybe you've been long since separated from your mother. And you're one of the ones. You say, she did not raise me like she should have. Listen, friend, there's no need in you holding that for all these years. You might as well just give that to God and reconcile to the level that is humanly possible on your side. The altar is open for you. Perhaps you have something else to pray about. Maybe you just want to come and pray and give thanks to God for your godly mother. Then this altar is open for you. The altar in the front, the first couple of pews, front couple of pews. Would you come? Maybe there's something totally unrelated, but you knew coming into this service this morning that God had been doing something in your heart. My friend, don't let this moment pass. But what you don't do, what God's already birthed in your heart, you bring it out to fruition and let God be glorified. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. Would you step out and come? Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you've never been baptized. You've never taken that first step of obedience after salvation. Baptism doesn't save you. Being saved is all on its own by the trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's all a person does to get to heaven. They don't live a certain way for a certain amount of time to get there. They put their faith and trust and belief in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. But maybe you need to be baptized. That's what a person should do as a first step of obedience, and you'd like to come present yourself for baptism. Maybe you feel led and God's put in your heart that you'd like to come present yourself for membership to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Whatever your need might be, we're going to have him play just one more verse. And if that's you, would you come? Thank you for this time. Thank you for the time to be in your house. Thank you for the chance to honor mothers. And Lord, what a wonderful, blessed group of individuals we are. Thank you for this good time. Thank you for this good day in your house. Be with us now as we leave. In Jesus' name, we'll pray and we'll thank you. Amen. Well, let me give you these couple of words of announcements just so you can know. I do want you to remember, as Brother Daniel mentioned, the 23rd of May, we are just 2 weeks from now, Lord willing, we'll have our dedication day and we'll honor Preacher Lastly. And there are many folks, as Daniel mentioned, that love him, have been influenced by his life and by his ministry. And I'd like for everybody to think of one person that you could have here. Maybe it's somebody that is in the area, grew up here. And I'm not somebody that likes to take people from churches. I'm not trying to say you go empty out churches if God's led them somewhere else. But if there are people around in the region that you can have here for that special day to honor him, we would certainly be blessed if you would do that. And we'll have a great day honoring him. We'll hear a testimony from him, have some friends that he has wanted us to invite. We'll have a great day. We'll have a wonderful program for you. And I'll preach a short message as well. We'll have a great time together. But that's on the 23rd. And I'd like for you to be thinking who you could invite that Preacher Lastly or Buffalo Ridge means something to them. And would you be doing that? And then the other announcement is, Amy and I will be standing over here by the ladies. It's a little tight as they come through. They'll be handing out our tote bags, personalized with our information. And we'll meet you over here, Amy and I will, and we'll have a good time together just greeting you all, ladies, 18 and above. And please come over that way if you're able to, ladies. And after that, you're dismissed. God bless.
Whose broad stripes and bright